Cardiology Clinic, Cherrywood. Your heart is your priority. Cardiac appointments within 24 hours.
With the key city of Lyman in the east of Ukraine being retaken by Ukrainian forces, it might seem that the tides of war are turning. However, the ratifying of annexation by the Kremlin of four Ukrainian regions is bound to bring further tumult. It seems they're happy enough with the borders they have in Luhansk and Donetsk, but they have yet to decide how much of Kherson and Zaporizhia they are going to call Russia. I'm joined by Natalia Humanyuk, journalist based in international, specializing in international security, and by Jason Corcoran, a journalist and Russia analyst. Good morning and welcome to you both. Natalia, first of all, the Russians, they've formally annexed four regions, but they don't know how much they are claiming.
Yeah, but it also doesn't mean much. You know, the Russia occupied these territories for a long time. We understand it was very kind of rush thing for Vladimir Putin to answer to this counteroffensive, and they were planning to hold this imitation of referendums, even in the cities which are now under full Ukrainian control, like Izum in Kharkiv region. So I do not think that there is any sense really to look at these territories and discuss it regarding the idea what has been annexed, what is not. What is interesting is, and what is important, that indeed, despite there is no any longer this moment of surprise, and the fights are more severe, the counteroffense is going. And yes, Lyman, you know, a town which honestly nobody knew even in Ukraine, you know, some months ago, is significant strategically because indeed it was considered that it's lost. And if there were hopes for retaking the, you know, southern part of the southern Ukraine or Kharkiv region, I do not think that there was a lot of understanding that Lyman would be retaken. It taken Russia 3 months to get to this town. It was one of their major victories in spring. So it is significant, and it definitely would make some ways strategically easier for the Ukrainian army to go on.
Now, one of the developments that has been reported is the movement of a division that is the support division for the deployment of nuclear battlefield weapons. How is that news being greeted in Ukraine?
So in Ukraine, there are for a couple of weeks already the whole discussion in nuclear weapon, which was not present, is present. But I don't think it's very different from what is there in the West and, you know, intelligence or in the Western analysts. The discussion is to what extent it's possible to rationalize with Putin, that there are no rational arguments he is buying, that he's often bluffing, how you always know what is bluff, what is not. We clearly know that Putin is provoked by inaction. That's one thing. So it's the whole war is this trick between how you act and defend, and also find a way that so he sees that there are response to his actions, but also at the same time not let him to use this, you know, last resort. But I do think that I'm not the expert on the nuclear, you know, weapon, and a lot can be discussed by intelligence. There are the other talks, whether the people who you know, in Russia would follow the orders on the if they are given to use a nuclear weapon. Is it really possible? So it's, you know, Ukrainians are concerned. They know that they are the first victims in any case. They are the closest. So the things are taken serious, but still it's not the reason at all to just, I don't know, give up and let Russians, you know, kill people, occupy the territories and surrender.
All right. Natalia, Luke, thank you very much for joining us with that update. Jason Corcoran is joining us. Jason, you've been trying to psychoanalyze Putin and what drives him. What is it that has caused him to take this potentially disastrous step for himself and for Russia?
Well, I think Putin, it's become evident that he's desperate to get the band back together, the USSR. And the most important part of the jigsaw puzzle has always been Ukraine. He's nibbled away at Georgia and Transnistria and other regions. But Ukraine was the essential piece of the jigsaw puzzle. I mean, he famously said in 2005 in an address to the nation that the greatest geopolitical disaster of the century was the breakup of the Soviet Union, and not even taking into consideration World War One, World War Two, where 17 million Russians perished, or even the Holocaust.
So he compares himself to the 18th century Russian Tsar Peter the Great, but there might be other comparisons that would be more relevant, because he is rolling back the clock, really, for Russia. I remember being in Russia just when Gorbachev had come to power and things were changing, but it was an impoverished society. No consumer goods worth a damn. Nothing really worked. Their cars broke down all the time. They had moved forward, but it looks like they might be moving back.
Yeah, you're right, Pat. I think they're seriously backsliding. I mean, Putin, domestically, he's improved people's lot. Their salaries have gone up fivefold in his reign over 22 years. But now, I mean, GDP is expected officially to contract by 2.4% this year. But the independent economists I speak to say it could be threefold, because he's now increasing the defense budget by 43%, and there's already holes appearing across different ministries, and they're having to plug holes because of this. It needs to beef up their military desperately.
Now, the people who run Russia, it's not just Putin. He brought with him into power a whole pile of people that he was associated with in the secret police, I suppose, and these people have risen to quite prominent roles.
Indeed. I mean, they're called, they originally called the Chekists, who were named after a lovely chap called Felix Dzerzhinsky, who set up the first secret service. And they were pervasive across the Soviet Union. And of course, they led to the NKVD, the OGPU, and then the KGB and the FSB. So when Putin came to power in 2000, he took a whole cadre of these guys, also known as the Silivyaki, the strongmen. And now they run Gazprom, Rosneft, Gazprom Bank, the actual media. They run the media, and across a number of agencies. So the Chekists now form the very core of the Russian state. And now Putin is really pandering to them, you know, these ultra-nationalists who are demanding tactical nuclear strikes and more severe treatment of Ukraine.
So what is the end game here? Because the suggestion, if Putin was removed, that some of these guys would take over, who might even be worse for world peace. Or are there other forces at work that might bring about his demise?
Yeah, well, I think the most likely outcome really is that he's pulled legs first from the Kremlin, and that would inevitably probably lead to an FSB military junta. And these guys, they could be far worse, or they might want a quieter life. They might want to be able to get their yachts back, travel to Saint-Tropez, and to be able to eat Parmesan in Moscow again. Of course, since sanctions, a lot of these Western foodstuffs have been banned. So, and that could inevitably lead to a loosening up of freedom for the political prisoners like Alexei Navalny, maybe sort of quasi-free elections, and readmitting, you know, Russia to normal society. But obviously that will take a lot of coordination and choreography.
So for the moment, Putin is still in an unassailable position. We read about, you know, cracks in the facade where, you know, some murmurs on talk shows quickly stomped down by the presenters of those talk shows that things are not going well in Ukraine.
Yeah, well, I think it's actually spreading. The cracks in the power of article, which he has assembled very carefully over the last 22 years, whereby he folded all of the decisions, all of the main institutions were folded into the Kremlin. So all of the main decisions had to go through him effectively. And now that the power of article is splintering, you're seeing it on state TV increasingly. And I was just reading some of the tabloid press in Moscow this morning, and I'm seeing for the first time it's creeping into publications like Moskovsky Komsomolot and Komsomolskaya Pravda. This morning they were critical of the retreat in Lyman, and I've not seen that before. I've been reading this press for almost two decades. There was a story this morning in Komsomolskaya Pravda, which is like the Sun, basically, and it said Russian forces in Lyman were plagued by supply and manpower shortages, poor coordination, and tactical mistakes orchestrated by military officials.
On that note, Jason Corcoran, journalist and Russia analyst, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have news next.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.